Ever wish you could have been a fly on the wall at some amazing conference?
Like peek behind the curtain and grab those key insights everyone's talking about.
Well, today we're going to try to do just that.
That's right. We're diving deep into a session from Exponential Global 2025.
Specifically, we're looking at Kyra Montañez. She led the multi-site multiplication track.
And she's from Liquid Church.
Now, our mission here is to break down her insights on church growth.
Particularly growth through mergers. You know, even if you couldn't be at the seminar.
So it's like a cheat sheet. You get the good stuff without the travel.
Think of it as a fast track to understanding a really potent way to expand a church's ministry.
And Kyra, she's the executive pastor of ministries at Liquid Church.
Yeah, and she's got this fascinating background as a lawyer, actually.
I bet that legal mind comes in handy with all the details of church mergers.
Oh, absolutely. And she shared like the whole story of Liquid Church's growth.
And Liquid Church, just to give you some context, they were founded in 2007.
Right, and they've grown to seven locations now.
Seven. That's huge. How many people are we talking?
Their weekly attendance in person is around 5,500
Wow.
and another 2,000 online.
That is some serious reach. And here's the kicker, right?
The real heart of Kyra's presentation.
Four out of those seven campuses didn't start from scratch.
Mergers, strategic partnerships with other churches.
Powerful stuff. Kyra even called them miracle mergers. And when you hear the stories, you'll see why.
Absolutely, like their first one back in 2012.
Mountainside Gospel Chapel. A church with a ton of history, right?
191 years, can you imagine?
Wow. But their attendance, it had really dwindled.
Down to 25 members.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. For anyone thinking about church resources, they had this building,
A big one, right?
15,000 square feet, worth about $4 million.
And instead of selling it
The remaining members decided to donate it.
to Liquid Church,
Think about that for a second. This legacy church facing, some decline.
they chose to invest their biggest asset in this future partnership.
Shows a lot of heart, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, both sides. And the immediate impact was incredible.
Their very first Sunday together, attendance jumped from 25 to
1,000.
1,000. That's amazing.
Right. And over a decade later, that campus, it's still Liquid Church's second largest.
You're kidding?
Nope. Consistently over 500 people attending every week.
Proof that a merger can breathe new life into an existing ministry.
100%. And it wasn't a one-time thing for Liquid Church.
They did three more mergers.
Yep, each with its own unique story. One was with a former Presbyterian church in Princeton.
Another valuable property, I'm guessing.
Millions of dollars, yeah. And that was Liquid Church's first merger with a denominational church.
A Presbyterian church donating to a non-denominational one.
Exactly. It really speaks to the possibilities of working across those lines, for a shared goal.
For sure. What were the other two churches?
One was St. Paul United Church
Where was that one?
in Garwood. They donated a $1 million building.
Okay. And the last one?
that was Preakness Faith Community in Wayne. They donated a building worth $1.5 million. Right in the middle of the pandemic, too.
During the pandemic. Wow. That's faith. So four out of their seven campuses, all from these mergers.
Right. And Kyrie even said the strength of those acquisitions actually helped them buy their fifth site, their main broadcast campus.
Mergers aren't just some side strategy, they're a powerful engine for growth.
Definitely. Now, one thing Kyra did that I found really useful, she laid out a framework
A framework for what?
for understanding where a church is in its life cycle.
Oh, interesting. Like, is it a good candidate for merger or not?
Exactly. She talked about three stages.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
Stage one,
The movement stage.
the movement stage. What does that look like?
Think thriving, innovating, expanding. The church is on the move, reaching new people.
Okay, so they're active. Full of energy.
Yeah.
And the leadership. They tend to be risk takers. Kyra used Liquid Church's early days as an example.
Oh, right. When they were a portable church.
Exactly. Meeting in all sorts of places, doing those bold, attention-grabbing things.
Look, that free gas giveaway they did.
That was a big one. And the Easter helicopter egg drop.
No way they did that.
Oh, yeah. And their big metric for success, their KPI, baptisms. Over 3,851.
Wow. That's a church that's truly alive.
Absolutely. Now, stage two is a little different. It's the museum stage.
The museum stage. Okay, that sounds less dynamic.
It's when a church starts to decline, to be honest.
Their focus shifts.
Yeah, from reaching outwards to preserving what's already there, maintaining those traditions, those structures.
The leader becomes more of a caretaker.
Right. They might even say things like, "We've always done it this way."
Not very open to new ideas.
Maybe not as much. And then there's stage three.
Uh-oh. I'm a little afraid to ask.
This is the toughest one. It's the mausoleum stage.
The mausoleum stage. So we're talking serious challenges.
Dwindling attendance, major financial issues, kind of a loss of that initial spark.
Kyra said the church has lost its heart.
Yeah, that outward focus. And the leader often ends up acting like an undertaker.
Just managing the decline. That's tough. So churches in the museum are mausoleum stages?
They're often the most open to mergers.
And maybe even need it to survive.
And here's a sobering statistic. Projections show over 100,000 churches in America could close in the next few years.
100,000. That's alarming.
Mergers offer an alternative, a chance for revitalization instead of closure.
It's not just about which churches are good candidates for mergers, though, right?
Right. Kyra also laid out Liquid Church's process for actually going about it.
Like their playbook.
Yeah, and she used this really helpful analogy. She said it's like a delicate dance.
A dance.
With five stages.
Mm-hmm.
And one church leads, the other follows. It's about finding that rhythm.
Okay, I like that. So what's the first stage of this dance?
Dating. It's all about that initial exploration.
Getting to know each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Asking, would we be stronger together than apart? That kind of thing. And Liquid Church looks at some key things right away.
Like what?
Geographic expansion. Does this potential merger open up new communities for them?
Okay. Makes sense. Reach more people.
And succession planning. For a struggling church, a merger could be a more sustainable solution than trying to find a new solo pastor.
Right. It takes the pressure off.
They also look at the financial situation, of course. How can Liquid Church help stabilize things, provide resources if needed?
Very practical.
And they look at the volunteer base. Could the merger bring in more people, more energy?
Yep.
And generational renewal? Would it bring in younger families?
Smart. They're thinking long term.
Absolutely. But Kyra was also honest about the challenges at this stage.
What are some of the hurdles?
Well, the smaller church might be afraid of losing their identity or control.
Makes sense. It's a big step.
And there can be different ideas about what the merger actually means. You know, is it a true partnership or more of an absorption?
Right. Getting on the same page is key.
Totally. And then we move on to stage two, courtship.
Things are getting serious now.
A bit more serious, yeah. This is where it's all about compatibility. Really digging in.
Asking the tough questions.
Exactly. Like, do our core beliefs actually line up? Our theology? What about the legal stuff? Bylaws, organizational structures. Are there any red flags there?
Right, the nuts and bolts.
And then the finances get looked at even more closely. Are there hidden debts? Things like that.
Due diligence.
And a big one is, how do we communicate all this to the congregations? Kyra mentioned Liquid Church does these healing services.
Healing services? What are those?
They go to the potential joining church and hold a service in their style. Give them a taste of what things could look like.
That's a cool idea. But this stage has its own challenges too, I bet.
Oh, yeah. The fear of losing their identity can really surface for the smaller church.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those mismatched expectations. The reality of combining two distinct entities can be daunting.
It's a lot to process.
And Kyra had this great saying, there's no such thing as a free building.
Meaning?
Even a donated building, there are often hidden costs,
mm-hmm.
deferred maintenance, things like that.
Good point. So stage three.
That's engagement, where both sides really solidify their commitment.
Now it's about the why.
Exactly. Why are we doing this? What's the deeper motivation? And Kyra explained Liquid Church's core motivations.
HR.
Expanding their mission, reaching more people.
Okay, spreading the gospel further.
Leveraging facilities for greater impact.
Yeah.
You know, making the most of those resources.
Smart. And the last one?
Building sustainable ministry models.
Working together for the long haul.
Right. And for the joining churches. Their motivation often comes down to not closing their doors, ensuring their legacy of ministry continues.
It's emotional, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Kyra stressed the need for compassion in this stage, you know, supporting those leaders who are making a huge decision.
Definitely. So on to stage four.
The wedding.
This is it. The actual merger.
Yep. Legally, they become one entity. Leadership gets unified. Staff roles might change. And they adopt a new shared identity.
You name, new branding.
All that. This stage is all about letting go, which can be hard. Kyra told this story about the Princeton merger. They had this whole debate about the name.
What were they considering?
Princeton Meadow versus Liquid Mercer. They ended up doing a one-year compromise.
Wow, that's interesting. So they eased into it.
It shows you have to be sensitive to those attachments.
Definitely. What's the final stage then?
Marriage. This is the long-term integration, building a unified culture.
And keeping people engaged, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kyra said success in this stage looks like using those resources wisely, honoring the legacies of both churches, and launching new ministry initiatives together.
The joy of seeing people from the merged church thriving in the new setting.
That's what it's all about. And of course, there are still challenges.
Like what?
Any lingering conflicts that weren't fully resolved. Staying focused on the vision and preventing leadership burnout. This stuff takes work.
For sure. So how does all this fit into Liquid Church's overall multi-site approach?
Well, their strategy is to use their closest existing campus as a sending church.
To support the new merger.
Exactly. And that sending campus needs to have at least 150 committed people ready to serve to invite others.
Wow. That's a serious commitment. Kyra also emphasized that both mergers and multi-site growth have to be driven by relationships.
She said Liquid Church actually has a website specifically for church mergers.
Really? And they proactively reach out to churches they think might be a good fit.
They do. But she acknowledged it's a tough conversation to have. Telling a church they might be in decline. Liquid Church used to be more passive, but they've become more proactive now.
It's like that delicate dance analogy again, right?
Definitely. One church leads, one follows. But it has to be based on agreement, not control.
Mutual respect. Kyra had some really quotable moments, too.
She did. One that really hit me was, if you want to experience resurrection, the graveyard is a great place.
Powerful. So true.
And this one, about the merger process. Church mergers are like a delicate dance. One leads, one follows.
It's so simple, but it gets the point across.
And she gave us a very practical reminder. There's no such thing as a free building.
So important. Be realistic about the costs.
And this last quote, it really sums up those different leadership styles. A risk taker forges the future. A caretaker preserves the past. And an undertaker presides over the death of the church.
Which one are you? It's something to think about. And it's important to be clear about what a successful merger isn't.
Right. Kyra was really specific about that. It's not about keeping every single person from the joining church.
Staff, members, everyone.
It's not about getting everyone's approval.
You're not going to please everyone.
And it's not about clinging to a building or a name just because of sentiment.
We're trying to keep things exactly the same.
So what does success look like then?
Kyra said it's about retaining those core people who share the vision.
It's about those who stay being fully engaged.
It's about using the resources well.
Honoring the legacies of both churches.
And starting a new, vibrant chapter together, Kyra shared this great story about a trustee from Princeton Meadow who totally embraced Liquid Church's vision.
That's what it's all about, that kind of heart change.
So if you're listening and you're in church leadership, what are some concrete things you can do?
Kyra had advice for churches that are already multi-site and those that are just considering it.
Okay, let's break it down. Multi-site churches first.
She said, start looking for potential merger opportunities in your area. Build relationships with pastors of churches that might be struggling.
Okay, make those connections.
Create a clear process for having these conversations and, you know, actually doing a merger, if it makes sense.
Be ready to act.
And prepare your existing campuses to support new churches coming in. You know, be that sending church.
Great advice. What about churches that aren't multi-site yet?
Honestly, assess if you're ready. Lay the groundwork. Kyra also recommended a book, Better Together.
Who's that by?
Jim Tomberlin and Warren Bird.
Okay, we'll have to check that out. What else?
Look for strategic locations for potential expansion. And this could mean partnering with a struggling church.
Interesting. Turn a challenge into an opportunity.
And be prepared for a patient process. Mergers take time, you know.
Build that trust.
Exactly. At the end of the day, Kyra's message was so clear. Mergers, when done right, aren't about buildings or assets. They're about expanding God's kingdom.
And Liquid Church, they're proof that it can be done.
With honor, humility, and strong leadership, it can be a beautiful thing.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Kyra's talk at Exponential Global 2025,
it's clear that mergers are a real path to revitalization and growth.
But it requires thought, intentionality, and a true focus on that shared vision.
And that brings us to a final question for you. Remember Kyra's analogy, the delicate dance.
What kind of leader are you? The risk taker forging ahead? The caretaker holding things steady.
Or are you, maybe without realizing it, presiding over decline? How can this idea of better together change your approach to ministry?
And the impact you have on your community. Take a look at where your church is right now.
What opportunities are out there? Maybe closer than you think.
And seriously, check out that book Kyra mentioned.
Better Together.
It could be a game changer.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
We hope you found it helpful, inspiring even.
And who knows? Maybe we'll see you at the next Exponential Global.